who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and the streams in the wasteland. May God bless his word to us this morning. So if you're here last week, we were looking at verses 1 to 13. And as I said last week, Israel is in captivity. And they're not focusing on God or whatsoever. They are doing their own thing. The proposition here in these verses, if you like, is to motivate the hearer, which in this case is the Israelites, and today it's us, to try and help them and to try and help us to seek new vision and new interest in the things of God. This period of Israel's history is very, very dark for them. It's not good for them at all. So as for us, some of us, I think, can be stuck in our ways, can't we? We can be a little bit sort of, I won't use the word stubborn, but I just did. Let's say single-minded. Well, single-mindedness can be a good thing, but also single-mindedness could be not such a good thing. And when sometimes change comes, some of us either ignore it, hoping that it will go away. You know, so I don't like that change. We won't have that. We'll forget about that. Some of us fight it because we're fearful of what that change will bring. You know, if I do this and I make this change, what's going to happen in the future? And some of us will even grumble about it because it's not definitely the way that we do things. Some of us will grumble uphill and down dale. Because changes happen and we don't want to change. It is very rare that you will hear anybody cry out, "Hallelujah, God is changing me for the better." In fact, I don't think I've heard anybody shout that. So if you've heard anybody say that, then good on you. So what's the point in change? Why change? Why do it? Well, if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always got. And I say, in some cases, that is a good thing, but not always. And then you've heard the saying, well, if it's not broken, then don't fix it. You know, why change for change's sake? Well, that's true. If something's going well, then don't change it. Or is it? Or is it just the fact is that we are so used to being in a familiar situation that we don't think about changing it, that we don't think about developing it, we don't think about moving on and trying to make it better? Lewis Hamilton, you might have heard of him, is the 7-times world champion Formula One driver. I like Lewis Hamilton, I like his attitude, I like the way he drives, and I get quite upset when he doesn't win sometimes. But he has just clocked up over 100 pole positions in his career. That's starting from the front of the grid. 100, that is more than any other driver in history. He has also clocked up 98 wins under his belt. Again, that's more than any other driver in history, and he's still going strong. Where is this man going to finish? He's going to be out there, head and shoulders above everybody else. And he's been asked in many times in interviews, how do you keep going? Why do you keep going? You've collected all the accolades, you've got trophies, so, you know, is it not time for you to give up? Well, his answer is this. He says, I strive to be the best I can for my team, for the engineers, and all the people back in the factory. for all those people that work hard to give me the privilege to do what I do. He continues, we need to keep looking ahead to develop and to get everything out of the car that we can so that we can be the best. And that means for me personally, I have to do the same to give the fans what they want. He's also been reported to be saying that the word mistake is not in his vocabulary. When he does make a mistake, he takes ownership of it. He knows, he apologizes straight away. He works on it and then he moves on. Forgetting the former things and not dwelling on the past. He sees what he does wrong. He takes ownership of it. He works on it and he moves on. And that's why he is as good as he is. Every athlete says the same thing after a performance. I can't change it now. That's in the past. I will go away and evaluate and I will do better next time. I can't change it now because that's in the past. I think some of us are still looking over our shoulder at the things that used to be. I know I've done that a few times in my life. Or maybe that we're still looking over our shoulder at things that have happened in our lives that probably might not have been anything to do with us. But we're blaming ourselves because it happened to us. Or maybe if we're not actually looking over our shoulder at what was in the past, but actually just looking down at the ground and just thinking to ourselves, I've got to find a way out of this situation. How do I find a way out of this situation? This situation needs to change. But what needs to change? If you're waiting for the situation to change, then you might be actually waiting a long time. For any situation to change, we need to be refocusing and thinking in a different way. We need to stop thinking about the past and start to think about the future with God and his perspective. If this church is ever going to move on, then we need to stop looking at the things that have gone. We need to start looking forward to the things that are coming. Evaluate is the most important thing. Evaluate what has happened. That's where we learn about the mistakes that we've made. But then move on with God. Look at what's happened. Evaluate and then move on with God. I have enough self-awareness to know that I am not the minister for this church. That has been apparent very early on. I look back and I agonize over what went wrong. All the way through lockdown, I just feel that, what have I done wrong? Where have I gone wrong? I ask God to help me to understand why he brought us here in the first place. Is it God's fault? No, it's not God's fault. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. It just hasn't worked out. It just hasn't worked out. Or has it? Or has it worked out? Have I, have we, filled the purpose that God had in mind? Have we done the things that God wanted us to do together? Is it now time to move on? Forgetting the former things and not dwelling on the past. You see, the thing is, if we continue to look behind us, we could quite easily stumble. And if we stumble once or twice, then we could quite easily fall over on more than one occasion. But there's also a possibility that if we're looking in the past and we're stumbling around trying to think this situation's got to change, we might actually miss what is right in front of us. We might actually miss the very thing God wants us to focus on. So what does he want us to focus on? He wants us to focus on him. He wants us to focus on him in every situation. You see, the thing is, you can't depend on the past. No matter what's happened, all the victories, all the triumphs, whether it's good or bad, you cannot depend on the past. You can't go back into the past and just say, do you know what, that was great, I'm going to take that with me into the future. Because it's gone, it's finished, it's over. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. In the past, the Israelites, when they were focusing on God, they had many victories. They were leaving Egypt. That was a victory. They conquered the land of Canaan. They're fighting off prospective conquerors. They had victory after victory after victory. Those victories now are gone. They cannot come back. They cannot live in the memory. They cannot use those victorious times in their situation that they find themselves in now. They can only remember them and move on. And now they're in captivity. So as we're looking at the Old Testament, we're looking at the past because it's been written down for us. So what can we learn from their situation? What can we learn about the situation that they find themselves in so that we can move on? Well, I think the question isn't what has God done. The question we should be asking ourselves is this morning is we should be asking here, what is God doing in your life right now? What's he doing in your life right now? What is it that you want him to do for you today? What is it that you want God to do for you today? It's a bit like the cripple that was sat by the pool when Jesus walked up to him and just was very direct with him. What do you want me to do? What do you want? He asked the question to the cripple, what do you want? But if we ask the question, we better be ready for the answer. Okay? Every single one of us, if we ask that question, we better be ready for the answer. And not allow the past to dominate and to control our future. We can't dwell on the past. We need to move forward. The Israelites are God's chosen people. They failed then and they're failing now. When God blessed them with a temple, they gave him idol worship. God gave them the truth and they proclaimed a lie. God gave them his commands and they lived like they were sort of suggestions. God gave them wealth and they abused the poor. God gave them himself and they gave him rejection. How much of this can we relate to this morning? Well, you know, this is the amazing thing about God. God wasn't actually condemning his people then. He was trying to help them to change, just as he's trying to help us to change. The way that the Israelites behaved, they did not deserve anything from God whatsoever. So why does he carry on? Why on earth does God carry on? Because he loves them. Why does God carry on with us? Because he loves us. He loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He loves us so much that he doesn't want to leave us where we're at in the situation we're in. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, do you see possibilities or do you see problems? I see a receding hairline. For the Israelites and for us, to embrace what God has for us, we first need to see ourselves as God sees us. We first need to see ourselves as God sees us. We are His. We are His children. We are His chosen people. He's reminded us all, well, through the Bible, he continues to remind us. If we do not see that we are his, then we need to refocus. We need to refocus our mind and refocus our thinking, and we need to move forward with him and not step back. We cannot continue to look at the past. We need to look at the future. God is saying that he's making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Brothers and sisters, we have a choice. We can either focus on our problems and our issues, or we can see what God wants us to do with our lives. We can focus on God. God is able to transform every single situation. If God can transform desert areas and make streams in the wasteland, then he can do the very things for us. He can change the desert parts of our lives into fields of blessing and abundance. God can take a dried up life. No matter how old you are, no matter how many times you think you're finished, but God can take your life and transform it and give it purpose and grace. For the Israelites to get out of captivity, they had to refocus on God. They had to follow his plan for what they needed to do. And it's the same for us. It's the same for this church. To make a difference in this community, we need to refocus on God to have his plan. If there's anything I can say to you today, this morning, in the few weeks that I've got left, is to let's get together and let's focus on God and see where God wants to take this church. Let's not dwell on the past any longer, but let's look to the future. You see, God has already got plans for us. All we need to do is to pick up his plans. We don't need to be picking up our plans and thinking, oh, well, I'm going to go this way, when God wants you to go that way. If you stick to your own plans, how's it going for you? How's it working out? Is it working out all right? Because when I stick to my own plans, when I get stubborn, oh man, I get into all sorts of difficulties. I get all tied up in knots. We're in a pandemic. I know you know that. The world has changed. We've had to do things differently. There were times when certain members of the community would argue that people wear face masks or cover their faces. And now we're all sitting in church with face masks on. Things have had to change. We can no longer work. We can't work and continue to work on our plans because our plans are actually destroying the world. We need to focus on God. As the Israelites were in captivity, God got their attention. we are in a pandemic. Has God got our attention? I believe God is calling us to change. That we need to change the way we do church. To refocus on Him. To allow Him to lead us in the way that He wants to. No longer to sort of make it up as we go along. We need to refocus. And this morning, I pray, I urge, I encourage, wherever you're at, just refocus on the Lord. Let's do that now. Setting everything aside, everything that you can think of, just quieten your mind, just anything that has happened in the last couple of hours, the last day or so, the last week, and just ask God to give you a new perspective. Father God, we praise you and thank you.